And we're holding on Mem Bey's Amud Aleph, the seventh line. We were learning yesterday, we learned a Braisa on Daphnun Aleph, darshaning a number of times when the Torah says over and over by various chatois, says the words that the Shirayim have to be poured are Yisoid Mizbach Ha'Ola, to the Yisoid, to the base of the Mizbeach on which Olos are brought. So it says that three times by three different types of chatois, and we were going through yesterday Braisa discussing why it says that. It tells us that the Shirayim have to be poured onto the Yisoid of the outer Mizbeach, not the inner Mizbeach, that the inner Mizbeach doesn't even have a Yisoid, and we said 10 Yisoid, the third one was 10 Yisoid, the Mizbeach Shel Ola, which we had a few different explanations in Rashi and in Tosfos, what that means exactly. It tells us that the Shirayim of an Ola specifically have to be poured, and from that we learn to other Korbanos, it's only an Ola, or that it teaches us about where the initial applications of the blood of an Ola are done, what parts of the Mizbeach. Anyway, in the course of that, so now the Gemara has been going through and analyzing that Braisa. So we have in the Braisa that the Gemara had asked, when we say 10 Yisod, Mizbeach Shel Ola, maybe it means that the application of blood of the Ola has to be done above the Yisod. How do we know it means anything about pouring out the Shirayim? Let's stick for the moment with Rashi's explanation because it's more straightforward. So the question was, we're saying that 10 Yisod, Mizbeach Shel Ola teaches us about the Shirayim being poured on the Yisod. How do you know? Maybe it means to tell us that the actual sprinklings of blood of the Ola, the Shema Trana Shrein Abba, have to be done over corners that have a Yisod, namely the northwest, namely the northeastern and southwestern corners, because the southeastern corner, as we talked about yesterday, does not have a Yisod. So we had two opinions in the Braisa. We had Rabbi Shmuel saying a Kal V'Chomer, saying that the Shirayim are not machaper, and you still have to pour them on the Yisod. How much more so the sprinkling of the blood of the Ola itself, which is machaper, of course needs the Yisod. And Rabbi Akiva had phrased it differently: the Shirayim are not machaper, the ain boin la kapara, and they don't come for kapara. Then they require the Yisod, so then the sprinklings of the Ola, etc. So let's analyze now. The last thing we had done in the Braisa, we had discussed that the reason why the Pasuk uses the expression "Oh, Yisod Mizbach HaOla" is to tell us that when you're pouring the blood onto the Yisod, you're not pouring it onto the vertical part of the Yisod where it first comes up one amma from the ground, but rather on the horizontal part where it's inset one amma on each side, where it's inset one amma, and then you have the wall of the actual Mizbeach. So now continuing on that, then continuing with analyzing the Braisa, Omer Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel had said, Gag Yisoid Lomalikra, why would I need a pasuk to tell us that the blood, that the Shirayim have to be poured on the top, on the horizontal part of the Yisoid? Kavachoymehu. Rabbi Shmuel argues it's a Kavachoymeh. Uma Shiore Chatas Shein Machaperas. Madach the Shirayim of the blood of a chatas, which are not machaper, or Shittim Kovetzis changes it to, as we had in the Brais, a shirayim shein machaper, and then in general, the shirayim of korbanos are not machaper, because it's the main applications of blood, the shirayim achanas shein arba, or the four corners by a chatas, etc., that are machaper. And yet, the Pasuk is telling us from one of the other times that it says, oh, you said Mizbah Ha'ola, and yet to una gag yisoid, and yet you have to pour the shirayim on the yisoid, and not just anywhere on the yisoid, but on the roof, which is to say the horizontal, the inset of the yisoid. And we know that, again, because we learned yesterday, because it says, oh, yisoid, I'm Mizbeach, which means a yisoid, which is the part of the yisoid, which is more like the Mizbeach, that's adjacent to it. So then Rabbi Shmuel had said, Tfilas Ola Shemachaperas, the initial sprinklings of an Ola, which are actually Mechaper, because without those, without doing at least one of those sprinklings, you don't have a kosher carbon. Ein Adin, Shetun of Gag Yisoid. How much more so it should require being poured onto the roof of the yisoid. So Rabbi Shmuel had said, therefore, it can't be, but the third time that it says, oh, Yisod Mizbach Ola, is to tell us that it has to be poured on the Yisod, that it has to be poured on the top of the Yisod, because we know that point already. So therefore, it must be coming to tell us something else, namely that the Shirayim have to be poured on the, or it can't be referring, sorry, it can't be referring to the initial sprinklings of the Ola, because those we would learn from a Kal V'Chomer, from the Shirayim of the Yisod, and therefore it must be referring to the, therefore it must be referring to the Shirayim, that they're to be poured on the Gag of the Yisod. And again, according to Rashi, that means specifically by an Ola, which we might not otherwise have known because it's not a korban that's eaten. And then from that we learn by Mamatzinu or by Kama Chomer to the rest of the korbanos. And then you have the various explanations in Tosfos that we discussed yesterday on the subject. Okay, so that was Rabbi Shmuel. And then Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had said in the Braisa something similar, but he had phrased it, Omash Yore Chatas, Sh'ein Mechaperin, Ve'ein Boin Mechaper, Madach the leftover blood of the Chatas, which is not Mechaper, and which has not come for Kapara. Now he's adding the extra words, Ve'ein Boin Mechaper. So what does he mean by that? That's what we have to discuss now. To Una Gag Yisod, yet the Shirayim have to be poured onto the top surface of the Yisod, Tchilas Ola Shemachaperes. Well, then, at the beginning of the Ola, the Shrein Matan, Shrein Abba of an Ola, Shemachaperes, which are actually Mechaper, for whatever an Ola is to be Mechaper for, Uval Lechaper, and those are coming to be Mechaper, Ein Adin Shitona Gag Yisod, then how much more so that it needs to be poured on the roof of the Yisod, in Cain, so that he finishes off, and both of them are finishing off with this, in Cain, Matamad Lema Yisod Mizbah Ola. So what does the Pasuk mean to imply with those words, Yisod Mizbah Ola, stressing again that it's in Mizbah Ola, Ken Yisod the Mizbah Ola, means that the Mizbeach of the Ola has to have a Yisoid, meaning, again, sticking with Rashi's chat for the moment, it means that the Ola, even though for other korbanos that the blood has to be poured, the Shirayim has to be poured on the Yisoid, we know from a different pasuk, but the Ola, given that it's not eaten, and that other pasuk, the Dams V'chafi Yishofik, is referring to korbanos that are eaten, you wouldn't know the Ola is included, therefore you need a pasuk for the Ola, and from it we can learn to other korbanos as well. So now, having we quoted what Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are saying. Mai Benai, what's the actual difference between them? They both seem to be saying the same thing, that the Shirayim are not coming for are not Mechaper. The only difference is Rabbi Akiva adds the words Ve'ein Boin Mechaper. What does he mean by that? So the Gemara says, Omer Rab Adab Abba, Shirayim Ma'akim Ikbeinayhu. And the argument between them is whether the Shirayim are Ma'akim. Rabbi Shmuel holds they're not mechaper, but they are ma'akib if you don't pour the shirayim out of the korban, if you don't pour them onto the yisod. Umar sava ma'akvi, so Rabbi Shmuel is going to hold their ma'akib. Umar sava loy ma'akvi, whereas Rabbi Akiva, by adding the words of ein boim lechapara, means they're not even coming, they're not even a part of the kapara, and if it wasn't done, then the korban is completely kosher. There are actually a number of explanations that Mephoshim discussed. What does this mean if we say that the shirayim are ma'akib? Does it mean, for example, that you specifically have to leave over blood after doing Shrei Matana, Shrei Abba, whichever kinds of sprinkling there are? The Kohen has to make sure to leave over some blood that will be available for Shlichas Shirayim. And if not, then the korban is possible. Or maybe it means if there's blood left over, then you have to pour it, and you need that in order to make the korban kosher. And is that considered one of the sprinklings as well, or is that really considered a separate mitzvah that just is also essential for the validity of the korban? There's a number of different malachim that the Mephoshim have on that point. But in any case, so Rabbi Abba explaining that's the nafkamina between the way Rabbi Shmuel and the way Rabbi Akiva phrases it. Rabbi Papa gives a different answer. What are you going to say? That's not ma'akiv, but that it's not coming for kapara, but it's ma'akiv. Rabbi Papa doesn't hold that such an idea is logical. So rather, Jekula Alma Shirayim in Ma'akvin, we're going to say everybody agrees that pouring the Shirayim is not Ma'akvin, as our Mishnah had said it, in Moinosa Ma'akvin, but Hocha B'mitzui Chata Sa'oif Ma'akvin K'mitzavim. The argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would be as far as the squeezing out of the blood of a Chata Sa'oif. When you're a Chata Sa'oif, the Kohen first does Malika, then he takes the body of the bird and squeezes it, and the blood squirts onto the wall of the Mizbeach. Then the next thing he does is he goes and takes the body of the bird and presses it against the Mizbeach to squeeze out more blood that oozes onto the wall of the Mizbeach. That kind of thing is called mitzui. That's sort of the equivalent of the shirayim with an animal korban. So now that will be the argument. So fine, we're saying that as far as shirayim of animal chatois, whether a chatas chitzoyne, even a chatas pnimis, we're going to say that they're not ma'akiv, like our Mishnah said. But when it comes to a chatas oif, when the pasuk also calls it shirayim v'anisha v'adam, then you're going to have the question: ma'asav ma'akiv, ma'asav lo ma'akiv. Here you're going to have Rabbi Akiva holds that it's ma'akiv. And Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's not ma'akiv. So, or the other way around. Maybe Shmuel holds it's ma'akir. Therefore, he uses the expression that that shirayim are ena mechaperis. They're not mechaper, but implying, in other words, they could be ma'akir. Which kind? Not the ones with an animal carbon, but the ones with a brood carbon. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold that they're not even that they're not even ma'akir, just like they're not by an animal carbon. And the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei de Rapapa. In fact, we learn a Braisa the way Rapapa just explained it, that that is the nub of their machlokes. The pasuk says the Eskola Dom Per, Eskola Dama Per, whatever is the lashon pasuk. Yishpach, the pasuk says by the power of Chayin Mashiach that all the blood of the power he should pour onto the Yisoid. So Kurdish said Eskola Dom. Vestal Adam, it could have said all the blood he should pour. Why Vestal Adam Achor? Why mention the fire? Limit of power. You make a point. Shaton Matan Domin Yisoy Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says that teaches us about so far that posik. The context of the posik is talking about the power of Kohen Gadol. All this time we've been saying all the Chatoris Pinimius have the Shirayim poured on the Yisoid as well. But we didn't, our mission had said, Parav Esor Shirayim HaKapurim is a Shirah Adama Yishrei Zuchai Yisoid Ma'arabi. But never actually says in so many words about the power and sorrow of Yom Kippur that you have to do that. So Rebbe is saying, you learn from the word HaPar that it refers to the power of Yom Kippurim that the blood has to be spilled on the Yisoid. Tosfos points out that in the previous parak we had a different Jerusha. We learned from a pasuk by the parak Helam Davar Shal Tzibur, but also La Parakasha, also that we learned over there that teaches us that you need also that you need also smicha and you need shirei adam. So the Tana of this Braisa is learning the shirayim from this pasuk over here. Where would he learn smicha? Tosfos refers to what they discussed over there, exactly how he would learn that smicha applies to the korbanos of Yom Kippur. In any case, Rebbe says you learn from this from the word hapar that the power Yom Kippurim also requires that the blood is poured on the Yisoid. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. On the side of here it says it's supposed to be Rebbe Akiva, because Rebbe, you can have Rebbe Shmuel arguing, and Rebbe Shmuel and Rebbe Akiva are the usual ones who argue one against another. Omer Rabbi Shmuel Kavachoymer, but Rabbi Shmuel says I don't need a pasuk for that. We have a Kavachoymer. Uma im misha in nichnas domer lefnim choiva. Madoch, you have a korban where the blood is not required to be brought to. Actually, it actually points out that Rabbi Shmuel is not actually coming to argue over here. He wants to explain that the shirayim should not be ma'akiv. Again, we said before we had one way of looking at it that Rabbi Akiva holds that across the board that across the board the shirayim are ma'akiv, and we had Rabbi Papa saying maybe not by animal korbanus but maybe by bird korbanus. Now we're going to show that Rabbi Shmuel in fact wants to demonstrate that you never have shirayim being ma'akiv, even by brood carbon. So he's going to show that you don't need the posik to teach you. Instead, you're going to learn it from a kavachomer, and in that way, you're going to learn that it's not ma'akev. So Amir Bishmal kavachomer. So Bishmal says, I'm not arguing, but I want to demonstrate in a different way that you're telling me that we learn that the power Yom Kippurim, the remainder of the blood, has to be poured on the Yisoid. But I'm going to demonstrate to you that that's not ma'akev. Uma im mishein nichvis domer lefnim choyva madoch. A korban where the blood is not—it's not a fixed choiva to bring the blood in, namely the power koyin mashiach. The power koyin mashiach. Yes, when you bring a power koyin mashiach, then you have to bring the blood into the heifel. But there's no mitzvah in the first place for the koyin gadol to do something that will trigger a power koyin mashiach and to bring it. So in that sense, it's not called a choiva. So nevertheless, Tony said, and yet, when you do bring that korban, then you do have to pour the remainder of the blood on the Yisoid. Then Rabbi Shmuel says, "Mishum likdes domer lefnim choiva." Well, then the korbanos of Yom Kippur, where you're required every year, you have to bring the korbanos of Yom Kippur and bring them into the heichal and bring them into the chodesh kadoshim. Ain't a din shaton Yisoid. How much more so that it should require that the blood is poured on the Yisoid? We haven't yet gotten to the point of how we know that's not ma'akev. We'll get to that, but the point is, first we have the flow of the braisa. In other words, it's like this. Rebbe or Rabbi Akiva, according to the different Gersos, is saying that we learn from the pasuk that you are supposed to put the blood on the Yisoid. But Rabbi Shmuel points out that you don't learn that from the pasuk, you learn it from the Kal v'chomer and Amar Rabbi Akiva. And similarly, Rabbi Akiva says in the same vein, Umam Mishain Jomin Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim Vein L'Choyva Vein L'Mitzvah. Here is a different way you can look at it. The blood of the Tyre Kohen Mashiach is not brought into the Lefnai V'Lefnim, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim at all. Not L'Choyva. There's certainly no requirement for the Tyre, for the Kohen Mashiach to do something that would trigger this fervent, and there's not even a mitzvah because the blood of the parakon Mashiach is not brought and sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, only in the Heichal. In fact, if it's brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the korban is going to be possible, actually. And yet Tony Yisoid, yet it requires eventually that the blood and that the Shiraim is poured on Yisoid, Mishin Nichnas Dome Choyvel Lefnayim Lefnim. Well then, a korban, the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, where you are absolutely required every year to bring the blood all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ain't a din Tony Yisoid. How much more so that requires the Yisoid. Tosfos points out that you could slog that up. You could say the Tyre Kohen Mashiach is mechaper for known averus, because the Gemara had used this argument in the previous parak. The Tyre Kohen Mashiach, as he knows that he did a certain avera, and now he's bringing the korban, as opposed to the korbanos of Yom Kippur, is not specifically for a known avera. Even if there's no particular person who knows that he did an avera during the past year, we still bring the power and the sword of Yom Kippur. Tosfos just points out the fact is that we have the other korbanos, the other chatoros that are brought throughout the year on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tovim. Those are also not for a known aveda, because by definition those are brought regardless of whether a person did an aveda of Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshev throughout the year or not, and whether he know, and even if he doesn't know of it, those are what it's mechaper for, as it talks about extensively in Masechtah Shavuos. So therefore, we can make a kavah choymer from that. And after all, as we learned in the previous sugya, we learned something with a hekish, you can learn from it with a Kal v'chomer, so therefore it works out to learn that way, and therefore we can't slug that up. Now, continue Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, Yocho Yakvenu, now that we're saying that you have to pour the blood on the Mizbeach, maybe it should act, and given that, as Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are both saying, we didn't need a pasuk to tell us that it has to be poured on the Yisoid, because we have this Kal v'chomer that we just said, and yet the pasuk goes to the trouble of writing it, then maybe it should be considered shana all of our kosov la'akiv. We should consider this an example of something where the Torah says it twice, and the usual rule with korbanos is that then it's ma'akiv. No, tamtlamer b'chila mikafer es hakodesh. No, therefore the Torah tells us by the korbanos. The Torah tells us by the korbanos of Yom Kippur, v'chilo mikapara sakodesh, he finishes doing the kapara on the kodesh. This is talking about after he finishes sprinkling the blood of the pyre and the sor inside the kodesh hakodashim and the heichal. That means shomu kol kaparas kolon. That means all the kaparas at that point are finished, and therefore if he doesn't do the shirayim after that, then it's not ma'akib. Gibir Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. That's how we learn ultimately that it's not ma'akiv. Now continues the Braisa. Kal v'chomer l'par kohen Mashiach, misor nasi me'ata. So now we should be able, now let's make a kal v'chomer, therefore, and let's work out the same kind of thing that when it comes to the par kohen Mashiach, that also if the blood is not poured on the yisod, it's not going to be ma'akiv. So we go like this then, similar way. So Kal v'chomer l'par kohen Mashiach misor nasi me'ata. The word misor nasi is in parenthesis, and there are other gersos that take it out. Anyway, we're going to make a Kal v'chomer as follows. Umami, the same similar to the Kal v'chomer that we just said. When it comes to the Sur Nasi, there's no choiva and there's no mitzvah to bring the blood into the heichal at all, because the Sur Nasi is a regular chatas. The only difference between it and a regular chatas is a male animal instead of a female. So you don't bring it in as a choiva or a mitzvah, because there's no obligation for the nasi to sin and bring such a korban, and there's no mitzvah even to bring the blood into the heichal, because you don't. Tony Yisoid, and yet the pasuk tells us that the blood, that the remainder of the blood of the sor nasi has to be poured onto the Yisoid. So then we can argue, Mishin Nichnas Dama Lefnim, Bein Lechoiva, Bein Lemitzvah. Well then, when it comes to the Parakoy Mashiach, where there is a chova and a mitzvah to bring it into the heichal, because that's the way it works, is you're supposed to bring the blood into the heichal and sprinkle it there. Ain't a dinja, telling you so, how much more so it should require you so. Now, just a few lines ago, we called the Parakoy Mashiach something that's not a chova. Why all of a sudden are we calling it here a chova? So first it actually says that we really shouldn't have the word bein l'chova, bein l'mitzvah. You should just have a mitzvah. It should just say in this line over here, mitzvah, rather than bein l'chova, bein l'mitzvah, because as we said before, it's not really a chova. There's no obligation on the Kohen Gadol to ever have to bring this korban. He should never make a mistake in halacha and never have to bring it in the first place. On the other hand, Rashi says you could still leave the word in, because the word relative, you can talk about the word chova is sort of relative. Relative to the korbanos of Yom Kippur, which have to be brought every year, no matter what, whether people have done aveiros or not, then it's appropriate to call those chova, and the power of the Kohen Mashiach is not a chova, because not necessarily a Kohen Gadol could go his entire tenure and never have to bring it. As opposed to, though, the fact is, when a Parakoy Mashiach is being brought, the blood does have to be sprinkled in the Heichal, because that's the way the Torah spells it out. And relative to a Surah Nasi, where there's no mitzvah even to do that, then we can call the Parakoy Mashiach bringing it into the Heichal, we can call that a Choyva relative to that. Rashi mentions a similar idea that you find in the Sefer Sota, that you have something which can be called you have something which is a mitzvah, but relative to Rishus, relative to something which is completely optional, you can call it a Choyva. So in other words, the usual hierarchy, the usual ranks are, you have reshus, something which is completely optional, mitzvah, something which is the right thing to do, but it's not absolutely an obligation, and choiva, something which is an absolute obligation. The word choiva itself, though, can be stretched to also cover something that's a mitzvah relative to something that's a reshus. And that's how it would be used every year, basically, to say it's not an absolute obligation every year, like the korbanos of Yom Kippur, but when the korban has to be brought, it is an obligation to do it that way, as compared to the Sur Nasi, where there's no obligation, there's no idea even of bringing the blood into the heifer at all, if you did the korban would be possible, in fact. So therefore, the Gemara can be using the word choiva and mitzvah over here in that more elastic sense. Okay, anyway, again, Yocho Yakvenu. Now, again, you would think that it's Ma'akiv the Korban. Now, again, since you have, based on this Kavachoyma, maybe it would be Ma'akiv. Tamad Loyma, V'es Kol Hadam, or Hapur, Damapur, Yishvach. Therefore, the Pasuk says, all the blood of the power he should pour, means Nikkei Akosav La'esa, means that the Torah is removing it from the list of Avodas that are Ma'akiv, making it only a mitzvah saseh. And again, it could have just said, why did it say, the es kol dama po yishvach? It should have said, the same way as it said by the previous avodas, all the previous ones, the lokach, the kohen should take, and he with the blood, and he should do such and such. The hizan, he should sprinkle the blood. The nosan, instead here, it doesn't say, the shofach dama o yisoid, which would imply that it's equally much an obligation in the other. It says, the es kol adam yishvach, all the blood he should pour. That difference, putting the poil last, the word yishvach means nikkei akosav la'esa, the Torah in effect is pulling it away and making it into just an esa v'asiyar shoni mitzvah, and making it basically only the leftover of the mitzvah. Loimalach shirayim ein ma'akiv, and that tells you that the shirayim are not ma'akiv and the korban is kosher. So now this Braisa bears out Rav Papa's point that both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva hold that the Shirayim are not Ma'akiv. It doesn't discuss a Chatas Oif, and therefore we can well say that by a Chatas Oif they could be arguing about whether the Mitsui, which is not, after all, it's not the same as the pouring of the Shirayim on the Yisod. The Mitsui, the blood does trickle down to the Yisod, because you do a Chatas Oif on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So the blood does trickle down, and it may well land on the Yisod, but it's not necessarily going to. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva could well hold that is Ma'akiv, which in fact is the halacha, or Rabbi Shmuel could hold that it's Ma'akiv, which is in fact the halacha, that the mitzvah of a chatas oif is Ma'akiv, but other pouring of shirayim is not. Well, the Gemara says, "V'savar Rabbi Shmuel mitzvah chatas oif Ma'akiv." So you're telling me then that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the squeezing out of more of the blood of the Chatas Ha'oif after he takes the earlier stages after Malika, he takes the body of the bird, holds it a few inches or a few feet, whatever, away from the Mizbeach, and squirts it towards the Mizbeach. That's the equivalent of the application of blood that you have by other korbanos. You have shtei matanos shtei nava, you have daubing with the finger, you have the very various kinds of applications of blood by different korbanos. When it comes to a bird, when it comes to a chatas ha'oif, that's how you do. You use the body of the bird itself, in effect, as a keli, and you squirt it towards the mizbeach. Then afterwards, he's supposed to take the body and press it against the wall of the mizbeach and squeeze out more blood from it. So you're telling me that the Shmuel holds that is in fact ma'akiv. But we have another braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. When the pasuk says "Vanisha b'dam yimotzei," when the pasuk says the leftover blood should be squeezed out and land on the yisoid, which that's where we learn that's on the bottom half of the mizbeach, because it has to be a place where conceivably it could reach down to the yisoid. We darish in "Vanisha yimotzei." What's left over is to be squeezed, implying "V'she'en anisha lo yimotzei." If there's nothing left over, then it's not to be squeezed. In other words, suppose when he did the hazah, suppose when he did the squirting of the blood, suppose that he got out all the blood but that way, and there's nothing left. So now he doesn't need to do mitzvah afterwards. So you see that Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's not ma'akin. And the same way as we talked about on Amud Aleph, that there's different approaches when we say, if we say that the shirayim by chatos and by other korbanos are not ma'akin, doesn't mean that you don't have to leave over blood, but if you did, you have to pour it, etc., etc., the various possibilities over there. Similarly over here, you see there can be a case where he didn't even leave over any blood, and nevertheless it's not required to do the mitzvah. And it's not active. So the Gemara says, you're right, Shei Tanoi, Al Debe Rabbi Shmuel. So you have no choice but to say that there are two Tanoim who disagree within what Rabbi Shmuel says. If there's no blood left over, is it to do mitzvah? Is the korban kosher according to this last braisa? Yes, according to the previous braisa, the way Rav Papa had explained it, the implication would be that no, the korban would actually be possible, and he has to make sure, according to that, when he does the hazah, to make sure to leave over some blood for mitzvah. Okay. So far we've said that both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva hold that the pouring of the shirayim of a korban, even when it comes to the chatoris apnimius, is not ma'akiv. Imlay nosam la'ikiv, as we said it in the Mishnah. However, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hai Tana Sover Shirayim Ma'akvi. You should know that there is a Tana who holds that at least when it comes to the Hatoris HaPnimius, the ones where the blood is brought into the Heichel, there is in fact a Tana who holds that the Shirayim are Ma'akiv. When we say this Perek every day, it's brought, the Tur brings, the Avudraham brings, that the reason why we say Ezo Makoyman every day is because there's no Machloikas in it. It's not actually the only Perek of Mishnayos that doesn't have Machloikas. There's at least one other one someplace in the Sefer Me'ilah, but it also lists all the Korbanos, and therefore it's Kolo'isik, Betoras Ola, etc. It doesn't mean, we see from this Gemara and throughout the Perek, we're not saying that there's no machloikas on the facts that it says in this Perek. Here we have an example. Rami Bar Chama is going to tell us, even though the Mishnah had said, by the Shirayim, we're going to see that there's a Tana who disagrees with that. And the same thing at the end of the Perek when we talk about a Pesach and a Nechalah, the Chatzos, and there's a few, there are actually a number of points in this Perek that are in fact argued by Tanoim. What we mean is, in the Mishnayos itself, it does not mention those machloikas things. So therefore, the Mishnayos are phrased as halachas the Moshe Mishnai in the style that they were said over when Moshe first taught the Jewish people, where of course there was no machloikas. Okay, so Rami Bar Chama says, yeah, I'll show you a Tanya who holds Shirayim Ma'akvi. The Tanya. We learn in a braisa, the pasuk says about a regular chatas, hakoyen amachate oiso yechlana. The koyen who applies its blood will be the one who eats it. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about it. It doesn't mean only the koyen who actually did the avodah of this korban. It means any koyen from that mishmo who's eligible to eat a korban, who's not tomei or has various other psulim, with the exception of a balmum. We're going to have all about that later on in the 11th or 12th perek of our Masechta. So it means a kohen who's capable of being mechata, who's currently tohar and not a bal mum, etc. Anyway, so what is this word oisa? What's the miut from the word oisa? Oisa shenitin dama lamata, v'loi oisa shenitin dama lamata. That means that this din applies only to the kind of chatas where the blood is put on the top half of the mizbeach, namely a chatas behemah. It means that with a chatas behemah, only if the blood was placed on the top half of the mizbeach, only then yechlena. Only then afterwards can the Kohen eat the Kohen and his fellow Kohen. And from that Mishmar, only then can they eat the Korban. But not if the blood was placed on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, with a Chatas Behema, the blood is supposed to be applied to the counters of Mizbeach, which are on the top half of the Mizbeach. So it can be, we're going to learn We're going to learn tomorrow, Baz Hashem, about exactly how it's done, but the point is it has to be, everybody agrees that it has to be done on the top half of the Mizbeach, above the Chut HaSikra. So now the Pasuk is implying that if the blood was placed below that point, then no, you can't eat the korban. Now, the Braisa says, why do we need to say that? Amarta, v'chime'ayin basa, where do you get that from, that the Chatas would be kosher? So the implication is, in other words, the Chatas is kosher, and you're saying that you would have thought the korban is kosher, and therefore you need the pasuk specifically to tell you that it's posel. What would make you think in the first place that it should be kosher? And mind you, actually, we did actually have a sugya earlier in the Masechta where we talked about the idea shaloi b'mkoyman k'mkoyman domi, that even if the blood is applied to the wrong part of the Mizeach, to a certain extent it can be considered as though it was applied to the right part, to the extent that the korban can be kosher, to the extent that we discussed over there, what if it's a posel who places it over there, can a kosher or koyan afterwards go and undo that by placing it in the right place? So there is, to that extent, you have that idea. But still, the Braisa is saying, what makes us think that we would have been able to actually go as far as eating the korban? We said over there, even if the korban is kosher, you certainly can't eat it if the blood was placed in the wrong place. So here, the Braisa is discussing what would make us think that we could have, that the Pasuk needs to tell us that not. So like this, Miklal Shenemar, since the Pasuk says, V'dams v'checha yishofach al mizbach v'gomer, the Pasuk says the blood of your korbanos should be poured on the mizbeach. And we learned from that, as we learned in the previous parak, Lamadnu l'nitonin b'matan arba, we learned from that about korbanos that are supposed to have their blood applied in four places on the mizbeach, the chatas, where it's supposed to be put on the four corners. And if he put only one matana, then b'dievad was mechaper, as we had in the previous parak, this Shammai versus Basilil, where Basilil is saying that one matana is enough b'dievad, and the halacha is like them. So now you would think, achanitona l'mayel, but k'nosin l'mata keeper. By the same logic, you would think if they had to be placed on the top half of the mizbeach, and you said you did them on the bottom half, you would think also it's mechaper, and maybe even, now in the case of the chatas, where you did only one matana out of the four, it's kosher in the sense that now you can go ahead with the rest of the usual procedures of the korban. The urnei motem on the mizbeach, and the kohenim can eat the meat. So now the braisa is saying you would have thought to say the same thing if it was lamata instead of lamayla. So v'dinhu, and you would actually you would think therefore that maybe it would work, and therefore you need the miut from the word oisoi to tell us that not. But then the Braisa asks the other way around. Why do I need a posik for that? On the contrary, we could learn a kavachomer. The dinhu, we could make a kavachomer as follows. Or not a kavachomer, but a mamatzinu. We should be able to learn it from a mamatzinu, from a binyan ab, that it wouldn't work. And therefore, why do we need the posik to tell us the word oisa to tell us that it doesn't work? Namely, the binyan ab would be nemru domim lamayla. The Torah tells us that there's blood that has to be placed on the top half of the mizbeach by a chatas behema. The nemru domim lamata, and then we have other korbanos where there are other korbanos, and including also a chatas oif, where the blood has to be placed on the bottom half of the mizbeach. Ma domim hamun lamatan nosan lamayla shenosan lamayla loy keeper. Now, when it comes to a bird chatas, where it's supposed to be on the bottom half of the mizbeach, after if you did it on the top half, definitely you're not mechaper. And the reason is, Rashi explains in the next parak, when we talk about in more detail the dinim of chatas ha'oif, about chatas and oilas ha'oif, we're going to talk there that because the pasuk says chatas he, it means that all the details of it have to be done as a chatas ha'oif, including that it has to be on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So we learn from that if anything was done differently, then it's going to be possible. So you could make a mamatzinu, ma domim hamurin lamatan, blood that's supposed to go of a chatas ha'oif, that's supposed to go on the bottom half of his back, shenosan lamaylan, and instead he put it on the top half, loy keeper, he's not mechaper, based on that wording in pasuk, af domim hamurin lamaylan, im nosan lamata loy keeper. You could argue by a simple binyan av, the same thing, with blood that's supposed to go on the top half, by an animal korban, by an animal chatas, if you put it on the bottom half, it shouldn't be mechaper. So we should automatically learn from that, why do we need the word oisa by the chatas to tell us otherwise? And the answer is loy. No, that's not a valid binyan av, because ima mauta b'tachtoinim shenitonim b'nisina l'mayla. You know what? It's one thing you can talk about blood that was supposed to go on the bottom half. If you put it on the top half, the reason why it would be possible, she'ain soifa l'mayla. Because after the Milan, they're not going to end up on the, they're not going to end up on the top half. Something that goes on the bottom half, it's not going to dribble upward to the top half of the Mizbeach. So it's never going to reach there. Therefore, you could argue light kicker. So therefore, you could argue that's a reason for it not to be Mechaper. Not a matter of dribbling, rather. What are you going to do? If you do the Chakas Ha'oif, if you do the Chatas Ha'oif, which was supposed to be on the bottom half, and you did it on the top half, there was no part of the Korban where there was any time where you were supposed to be doing on the top half. So there was no stage of that Korban that where blood was ever supposed to go on the bottom, on the top half. Therefore, you could argue that's possible. But how could you compare to the where you're supposed to do on the top half, the chakas behema, if you did it by mistake on the bottom, the fact is sheyeshman karu lamata. The fact is later on you have the shirayim which go on the bottom half of the mizbeach because they get poured onto the yisod, which is at the bottom of the mizbeach. So therefore, you could argue that maybe there is a reason to say that a chatas behema, if you did the blood on the bottom half, big deal. Eventually, you're going to do some of the blood on the bottom half anyway. So what's so bad if you did all of it on the bottom half instead of some on half, some above and some below? So the Braisa continues, Domin Shirayim Apnimim Yechichu. Okay, well you can counter argue that. Look at the Shirayim of a Chatas Pnimim. Shiyeshman Korah Bachutz. That, after all, eventually the Shirayim are going to be poured on the outer Mizbeach after the sprinkling is done in the Hechel. V'im Nosim Batchila Bachutz like Kippur. But if you were to take the Purim of Yom Kippur or the Par Kohen Mashiach, etc., and then do the blood to begin with on the Mizbeach Achitzen like Kippur, you wouldn't be mechaper. So therefore, just because at a later stage you're going to be doing something over here, is not a reason to say that in an earlier stage you should be able to do it in that same place as well. So therefore, why would we think that with a chatas behemah, just because later on the shirayim are going to be poured on the yisoid, therefore, if you didn't put the initial application of blood on the top half, the korban should be able to be eaten, and you would think so, and the Torah has to tell you otherwise? No, you'd have no reason to think that any more than you would think by chatoris apnimius that if you did all the applications of blood to the outer mizbeach, that it should work. But the Braisa goes back, Loy, no, that's not a valid comparison. Because you know what? When it comes to the blood that from Korbanos that are brought in the Hekel, the inner Mizbeach does not finish them off. What do you mean does not finish them off? That the Gemara is going to take up soon. But this is actually the crux of what Rami Bachama is bringing this Braisa for. He's going to understand Mamarkan meaning that that's not the last stage of it. You still have the Shirayim. And if the Braisa is saying that, then that seems to imply that the Shirayim are active according to this Tana. Toma be'oyonim. So how would you compare to the blood of a chatas that's supposed to go on the upper half of the Mizbeach? Shared Kronis, Mamarkus Oysan, where the Kronis complete them. Once you put the blood on the Korbanos, then that's completed and the Korban is kosher. You could argue, and even this Tana, even Rami Bachama's understanding of this Tana, does not hold that with Chatoris HaChitzonius, with Chatoris where the blood goes on the outer Mizbeach, that the Shirayim should be Ma'akiv, everybody agrees it's not Ma'akiv by then. So therefore, so now you could argue in Nostan Lamata trading. Well then, given that you don't have, you could be Yotze with just doing the applications of blood on the Kronos, on the corners, on the top half of the Mizbeach, but eventually, usually you would pour the Shirayim on the Mizbeach. Based on that, maybe we should be able to argue that if you did it the Chatzchila all on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, it should be kosher. Tamad Loma Oysa, that is why the Pasuk has to have the Miot Oysa, Oysa Shenitin Dama Lamayla, Veloy Shenitin Dama Lamata, only if the blood was placed on the top half of the Mizbeach can you then eat the meat of the Korban, not if it went on the bottom. Now, says Rami Bachama, when the Braisa had used the expression by the Domin Matninian, She'ein Mizbeach Pnimim Markon, Mai She'ein Mizbeach Pnimim Markon, Lav Elo Shirayim. Doesn't that mean he's referring to the Shirayim? That the Shirayim have to be poured on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, and if not, the Korban is incomplete. So you see, says Rami Bachama, there's a Tanner who holds that that not pouring the Shirayim of a Chatas HaPnimius, of the Purim and Seirim of Yom Kippur, and the Par and Sor of Yom Kippur, and the Purim and Seirim and Yisrafim, that it would be Ma'akiv and the Korban is possible. Omalei Rava, but Rava says, no, that's not what he means, that's not what he means by the word Memarkon. Ihochi Tesi B'Kavachoymer. If so, If that's what the word mamaukan meant, then he could have learned it by using a different kal vachomer. The argument would have been ma shirayim apnimiyin shesofen chova b'chutz. Madoch, when it comes to the shirayim of the chatas apnimiyus, where eventually it's going to be required, and again using the word chova like we did on Amud Aleph, an absolute requirement to pour them outside, and if not, then the korban is possible. Asan b'tchila b'chutz lekipper, and yet that doesn't mean that b'tchila you can do all the matonis of blood on the outside. The fact is you have to bring them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and into the Kodesh. And if he does them all outside Loy Kippur, then he hasn't accomplished the kapara, the korban's posel. And he tonin lamayla, well then we should make a kavah chomer. Blood of a chatas, which is was supposed to go on the top half, she'ein sofen chovin lamata, where it doesn't end up, the shirayim is not a chovah, it's not an absolute obligation to put it on the bottom half. Vason v'tchilu lamata, if he were to do it to begin with, lamata ain't a din, shaloy kippur, wouldn't it be a simple kavah chomer that it wouldn't be machatas? So you can't say, says Rava, if the word memarkon referred to pouring the shirayim, then the whole thing doesn't work, and you would have, the tana of this braisa would have in fact used such a kavah chomer to say that if he did the chatas to begin with on the bottom half instead of doing the daubing of blood on the kronis on the top half, that it's possible, and he still wouldn't need the pasuk oisa to tell us that it's possible, and he can't eat the korban. Rava says, Eina Mizbech HaPnimim Marken Bilvad Ela Poroches. No, rather what it means is, when it says Eina Mizbech HaPnimim Marken, we mean that that's not the only place where the blood goes. Because with all the Hatoris HaPnimis, you also have applications of blood in front of the Poroches. With the ones in Yom Kippur, you also have in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the point is, as opposed to, in other words, so it requires two or three different stages of avoda inside, therefore it's more chomer, and therefore you can't do any of it outside until you get to the shirayim. As opposed to, the Braisa is making a distinction between that and the Chatoris HaChatzonius, where you put on the kronis, and that's all. There's no two avodas involved, you just have to put it on the kronis of one mizbeach, and that's that. Therefore, says Rava, no, the Braisa is not implying that the Shirayim should be Ma'akav at all. It's just drawing a distinction between Korbanos, where you have to apply the blood in several different places, on the Poroches and on the Mizbeach HaZohav, versus a Chatas Chitzona, where you have to apply it only in one place, namely on the four Kronis. So Rava says, no, not like you were saying, Rami Bahama, the Tana of this Braisa does not in fact hold that the Shirayim are Ma'akav. Okay. Continuing on this topic, are shirayim ever ma'akiv? Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, we learned this also previously in the previous parak. The pasuk says the chafira mikaper. Going back to, we quoted before a pasuk about the korbanos of Yom Kippur, that after it mentions all the applications of blood that he does in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichol and on the Mizbeach HaZohav and the front of the Parochas and the Mizbeach HaZohav, the pasuk says the chafira mikaper. He completes doing the kapara. And then the pasuk says he goes over to the Sur Lazazel and he says vidui on it and so on and so forth. So what do we learn from those words? Im kippur kila, if he did all the kaparis, if he did all the sprinklings of blood that he was supposed to do, kila, then he's finished and then everything is kaper. Vim loy kippur, if he didn't do all the kapara, if he didn't do all the 43 or 47 or the different opinions that we had of how many matonis there were, loy kila, then he hasn't completed it in the korbanos apostle. This is where we learn, that as we learned in the previous parak, this is where we learn matona achas man me'akobas when it comes to the chatzaris of Benignus. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's how Rabbi Akiva learns the pasuk. Now the problem with that is that then you're flipping around the words. You're flipping around the words v'chila and mikaper. He completes from doing the kapara. So, but Rabbi Akiva is dashing it the other way around. If he did the kapara, then he was kila. So Amalei Rabbi Yehudim, if Neimar Lo Neimar, why shouldn't we learn the pasuk in the straightforward way? Why not? Why flip around the order of the words in the pasuk? Darshan it instead. Im Kila, if he completed everything, including even the Shira, including something else, which we're going to have to see what something else. If he completed Kippur, then he accomplished the Kafara. Vim Lo Kila Lo Kippur, and if he didn't complete, he wasn't mechaper, which would mean Shem Chisa Achas Mikol Matonis. It would mean that if he left out any of the Matonis, Lo Yotze, then he's not Yotze. Then he didn't accomplish anything on the Korbanos Apostle. So, my Benayu, what is the actual difference? It seems like they're both saying the same thing. You have to do everything, or you have to do all the Matonis, otherwise the Korban is possible. What's the Nafgamina? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi argue what the actual argument is between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda. Chad Omer, Mashmos Doshin, Ikabenayu, one says there's no actual difference between them as far as halacha. It's just a matter of how we darshan the psukim. They both agree, all the matonis, they both agree matona achas mei me'akavas. Rabbi Akiva wants to learn im kippur kila, v'im lo kippur lo kila, but leaving out the shirayim. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the shirayim are not me'akav either, but all he's saying is that, if you learn it the way you do, then you don't really learn from it. That matana achas men me'akavas, it could mean that, for example, it means if he left out, it means that if he did only one matana, then b'di'evet it's kosher. Just like by the chatoris, where you do one matana and b'di'evet it's kosher. Therefore, instead, so don't darshan in kippur, which could imply conceivably one application of blood, kila, then he's finished the whole thing. Okay, that would mislead us to say that one matana is good enough. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda says, Darshan in Kila, if he finished everything that it says in the Psukim, Kippur, and if not, then Loi Kippur, which would teach us that if he left out one, Loi Osav Loi Kippur. But the Shirayim wouldn't come into the picture because those aren't listed in those Psukim anyway. Those we only learn, as we learned on Amar Aleph, from the Parakoy and Mashiach, and they're not actually listed over here. Now, Rashi adds, Rabbi Yehuda would have to, now like this, it does say, at the end of the parasha of Yom Kippur, it says, V'hoisa zois lachem l'chukas olam. And we learn from the word chukah that everything that it says in the psukim over there is ma'akev. But that Rabbi Yehuda holds that only applies to things that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, he needs a separate pasuk to say that all the matonis, including the ones in the heichel, are ma'akev. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva doesn't need that, because he learns that chukah goes on everything. Okay, so now, again, one way of looking at it is that the machlokas between them is just mashmos doshin, how do they doush in the psukim, but there's no practical difference between them. V'chad Omer, the other one, between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Shimon Levi, says, shirayim ma'ak v'nikim v'nayu, the argument is actually going to be about this point, whether the shirayim, or whether pouring the shirayim is ma'akiv or not, when it comes to the korbanos of Yom Kippur. So we finally found an opinion that says that the Shirayim, at least with certain Korbanos, are Mechaper. Which one says which? Now, the Gemara will often present a Machloikas like that, just saying this one says this and one says that, and many times the Gemara will try to figure out who actually said what. Tistayim did Rabbi Shimon Levi, who Dama Shirayim de Ma'akvi. We can conclude that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who says that the Shirayim are ma'akev, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that the Shirayim are ma'akev, Rabbi Akiva would be saying, in Kippur, if he did all the kaparis that it says in the Pesukim over there, on which it says Chukah, then Kila, then he finished everything. But the Shirayim doesn't say about the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. We only learn it from a different pasuk that it says by the Parakoy Mashiach. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say the Shirayim on Amakim. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, in Kila, if he finished everything that has to be done, Shirayim and everything, even things that are learned from someplace else, Kippur, then he's Mechaper, and if not, then not. So that would mean even the Shirayim. So we're saying Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi would be the one who holds that way, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Shirayim are Ma'akiv. The Amr Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, as we find, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, L'divra Omer Shirayim Ma'akiv, according to the opinion, which we're saying now is Rabbi Yehuda, that the Shirayim are Ma'akiv, what if he failed to do the Shirayim? What if the blood spilled before he had the chance to pour the Shirayim out? Then maybe par echor, he's going to have to bring a different par and store it all over, masal b'tula b'fnim, and store it all over with the, and store it not all over necessarily, he's going to have to store it over with the matonis, with the applications of blood in the heichel. Rashi explains that, now we've learned earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara talks about in Yuma, that each segment is a thing of its own. So if he did all the eight matonis of the par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the blood spilled, he doesn't have to do those eight over again, he can start with the eight in front of the Achas HaMaila, the Sheva HaMaila, in front of the Parochas. Each one is kapara b'fnei atzman. But Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying that no, we wouldn't say if he finished all the ones on the mizbeach hapnimi and then the blood is spilled, then he just brings a new par and only does the shirayim with it. Shirayim by definition means there has to have been some application of blood before it. So rather, he's going to have to start with the last segment, namely the matonis on the mizbeach, and then the rest will be considered shirayim and he'll pour it on the yisoid. So you see, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that there's an opinion that shirayim are ma'akvin. That means that he must be the one who holds that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that. So you want to ask why? Alter Rabbi Yochanan must say Hasvara. What do you think? Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Taner Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Yochanan also says that Rabbi Nechemia taught a braisa that Rabbi Nechemiah taught a statement, Kedivra Oma Shiraim Ma'akvin, according to the opinion that the Shiraim are Ma'akvin. Namely, when we talk about later in the Masechta, about the concept of Halal Bachutz, where a person brings a korban outside the Beis Mikdash, and the Chayav Paris, what exactly is he Chayav for? So the other Tanoim say that if he, the other Tanoim say that if he did the actual applications of blood, the proper ones, the Shtei Matanah, Shtei Na'arba, whatever, in the Azara, on the Mizbeah, and then he took the rest of the blood out and poured it outside, he wouldn't be Chayav Paris for that, because that's Shiraim. But Rav Nechemiah holds he would be Chayav for pouring the Shiraim. And Rav Yochanan explains that Rav Nechemiah is following the opinion that Shiraim Ma'akim, and therefore he says, since they're Ma'akim, then that means they're an essential part of the Korban, and therefore it's called the Rory Lover Bifnim. It's something that could have been brought, that should have been brought in the Azara, and was a necessity for the Korban, and therefore he's Chayav Kodesh for doing it outside the Beit HaMikdash. So we see that both Rav Yeshua ben Levi and Rav Yochanan are referring to Tanoim who say that Shiraim Ma'akim. So the Gemara says, right, Ela Kedivra Omer V'Lav L'Hani Tanoi. After all, we have to say that what Rav Yochanan is saying, that Rav Nechemiah holds like the opinions that say Shiraim Ma'akvin, but not necessarily is that either of the Tanoim here, Rav Akiva or Rav Yehuda. Hochanami, the same thing. When Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, Kedivra Omer, means Kedivra Omer V'Lav L'Hani Tanoi, not necessarily is he referring to the two Tanoim over here, Rav Akiva and Rav Yehuda. So ultimately, we don't really know which one of them said which about the Machlokas of Rav Akiva and Rav Yehuda to understand which one says Shiraim Ma'akvin. And which one not? We can't prove that from here, which is why, in fact, the Gemara had quoted it, Chad Omer, Chad Omer, without specifying, because we really can't conclude. Otherwise, it would have actually said, Rabbi Yochanan Omer this, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer that. Bye, everyone.